Ladies and gentlemen, dear guests, participants, good morning. It is my pleasure to welcome everybody here and thank you for joining us for this event. This discussion
is part of a larger campaign, a TED que foi organizada pelo aniversário da CAPA, pelo participante búlgaro, mas nós também temos o prazer de ter a Malta, a Estónia e Portugal como nossos parceiros nesta campanha. Nós vimos e também podemos dizer pela audiência que esta campanha não trouxe nada de novo. Talvez não seja muito interessante para a mídia, mas também temos a certeza que o debate de várias questões que vão entrar na política da agricultura comum para o próximo período de 2013 é muito importante que aconteça agora. É também muito importante para a compreensão desta política pelo público em geral e é por isso que nós estamos aqui hoje e fizemos esta, portanto, na Bulgária e na Estónia em setembro e daqui a duas semanas vamos também realizar mesmo mesa redonda em Malta. Nestes países temos um foco especial e hoje para Portugal, o que nos traz, o que nos une é discutirmos se a CAP é justo para todos na Europa e o que é que deve ser feito de modo a que ela se torne realmente uma política justa. Tenho agora o prazer de passar a palavra ao Sr. Luís Mira, que está à minha direita, o presidente da CAP, da Confederação Portuguesa.
Muito obrigado. Bom dia.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for CAP to receive here in Lisbon this seminar with participants from Malta, Bulgaria and Estonia. And in fact, it's better to function because Portuguese is a bit difficult to understand. Is it okay now? It's working now. Is it working? Are you hearing us? But I was saying that it's a pleasure for us to welcome you in the seminar integrated in the 50th anniversary of the CAP. And Portugal in this group can give witness as a country that has joined for a longer time and theoretically should have a better balance in the revenues of PAC compared to other member states, which are much more benefited, but that doesn't happen. But that Portugal that joined in 1986 the EEC was never able till today to balance, to get closer to the countries that most benefit from PAC. This is a reality. Every time there's a reform, there's exactly that hope that we will get closer to those countries, but it never happened. In this reform that is now being negotiated, and it's starting with a proposal from the Parliament to speed up that negotiation, we hope that that approach will happen, at least in the distribution of the amounts among the countries that receive the most and the ones that don't receive. For those who don't know, Portugal, if we take in consideration the values paid by acre from the 27 members, is in the 23rd place. So you can see from the position that we are at the bottom of the group. It's important that our opinion, and that's one of the proposals that the Confederation, the Portuguese Confederation, is doing, that in this reform there will be a limit date or a deadline for equity in the payments, equality in the payments of the farmers, European farmers. We recognize that cannot be done from one year to another, but we think that in the two framework for the support till 2028, seems to be a long time, but it's not, it should be balanced between the countries, the amount that is being paid in the cap as it is defined today. It is not justified that a farmer from Germany or France receives 4, 5, 6 times more than a Bulgarian, a Estonian, or a Portuguese or Maltese farmer to do exactly the same function. That is not acceptable for us, and in our belief, it should be, that deadline should be established. Something that also concerns us is the budget. The countries with greater financial capacity established a value and placed in attachment A in the pillar one and left out everything that is rural development. We don't know what is going to happen to the communitarian budget. There's a hope that it's concluded till the end of the year. And we hope that only after then we will be able to do some accounts and understand what is going to happen. For us, it's not acceptable that all the reduction of the communitarian budget is done in the focused in the rural development. That's not acceptable that it should. It should be done in the two pillars in the same way. The budget reduction should be divided equally by everyone and not exclusively in the pillar two. We are also concerned with the simplification. There's always an expression that's much used by the Commission, but the practice shows the opposite. This reform seems to us to be very complicated from the administrative point of view, which brings problems to countries like Portugal and I think as to all the countries here represented for the practical application of these measures that are very complex from the administrative point of view that lead to the non-use of the amounts. It's always a concern to us and we want to leave this quite clear. Another issue is the different understanding that the Commission has about the proposal between the division, the equal payment within the country, and the maintenance of the differences of values among the different countries. That's not acceptable. Portugal, in the last meeting of the European Council of Agriculture, subscribed a document with some countries exactly due to that, because internal convergence should be the same as the convergence of the countries. This is something that the Commission cannot demand from the country, that the countries that are here, that till 2019 there's a homogeneity inside the country, and it's not concerned that that homogeneity happens among farmers from different countries. That's not acceptable for us. We have also great concern that the application of this policy should not bring the disappearance of any of the production sectors that we have at the moment in Portugal. Some of the sectors are more dependent from aid to be competitive, and we have a great concern that after the application of this reform, some culture will disappear, such as the rice, the tomato, or a great reduction and of the cattle, dairy, milk cattle, and the sheep. So we are very concerned with how this is going to be applied, and we want to safeguard that. What we want is that after the application of this agricultural policy, of this new stage of the policy, Portugal might be able to be more productive than today and more competitive than it is today. Two more concerns, just to end. One is the irrigation. The proposal from the Commission imposes several limitations to the application of the support given to projects involving irrigation, and that's not acceptable. The Commission said it would only support projects that gives a saving in water more than 25%. In Portugal, as you can see, due to the magnificent day that you have for the people that live in the city, but for the farmers, it's too dry. They need rain. So irrigation is fundamental for Portugal. There's been months that it doesn't rain in Portugal. It was very complicated here for the crops that do not have any irrigation, but it's not acceptable at all that the rural development should not support without any kind of a limitation the investments in irrigation. That's not acceptable for us. To conclude, what we wish is that PAC will continue to be a European policy and not root PAC to have just a national policy and stop being applicable to all Europe. It will be a disaster for all the weakest countries, like the ones that are sitting here, where the financial situation is hard, and the richest countries might have money to support their farmers. So it's like an individual reform for each country. It does not having the amounts, even with all the disadvantages that we have, they are very important for the agriculture development in all the countries. I hope that the session today will be useful. I hope you still have time to go make a tour in Lisbon and make good use of the sun, the good wine, and the food, the Portuguese food. Thank you.
Obrigado, senhor.
Finding the right balance between the common rules for all the European countries and the national specifics that so many of the member states want to see reflected in the policy. Now, before you leave us, can I ask you to please introduce our next speaker from the ministry?
Eu apresento, é o Hugo, representante do Gabinete de Planeamento, especialista em matéria de política agrícola comum, e que virá aqui apresentar a posição portuguesa sobre esta matéria. Portugal tem algumas das especificidades que eu já aqui hoje vos falei. Acho que era importante nesta nossa reunião. Está a funcionar ou não? Four. Channel 4.
Ok, but...
Eu não sei se está... A tradução está a funcionar? Não?
This one. Can you hear me now?
Tem que ser sempre no 3.
Não, não
está. Well. Deixe estar sempre no mesmo. É sempre no 3.
Ok, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes, now? 3? Channel 3. No, I was... Hugo is going to
make his presentation from there.
Muito bom dia.
Good morning. I would like to thank the organization of this event for the invitation to the planning office to be present today. I'm going to make a generic presentation that I hope will tackle the topics that this event wants to develop, namely to know if the the common policy, the common agricultural policy is a fair policy, and see if the what are the proposals that are being discussed, and these proposals are focusing the direct payments, and also deal with the FIADER regulation for the rural development. So in terms of challenges for the common agriculture policy, the agriculture and the cap at the European Union after 2013, are included in a global negotiation of the community budget. So this situation leads to a complexity of the negotiation as such that is taking place in the pluriannual financial framework, and also involving the, including the PAC, the CAP regulations, and the agriculture must play an active role for society and must understand the challenges and contribute to the economic development that is more and more a goal to attain. In terms of model for European model for agriculture, one of the big challenges is to guarantee that CAP is a true common policy, as we said earlier, but it must meet a great variety of rural territories and agricultures. And on the other hand, there is an important aspect that has to do with another challenge, which is to reconcile the food security levels in Europe and with the productivity of the European agriculture at the international level. So this situation, reconciling, is not always easy, and it's not always done in the best way. Maybe this is one of the most urgent challenges that require an answer by the CAP. At worldwide, the great challenge is to respond and to growing needs of the foods due to the increase of demand that is connected to the demographic growth in the framework of an environmental sustainability as well. Now, to show you a little bit of the level of complexity of negotiations that take place, so the calendar for negotiations, so the communication on the CAP by the European Commission took place in 2010. At the same time, we have a pluriannual framework to be negotiated in parallel. October 12th, 2011, there was a proposal of legislation in relation to CAP, and in that second semester of that year, the negotiations started in the framework of the European institutions, Council and Commission. And the proposals of CAP take place at the level of the Council of Ministers, the Agriculture Special Committee, the working groups of technicians. As you know, every week there are meetings. In June 2012, there was the draft project for the CAP regulations at the European Parliament, and there were some amendments made to those reports, and the vote at the Agriculture of the Commission of the Agriculture will take place in November. And in parallel, on the level of the Pluriannual Financial Framework, it is scheduled, or it is foreseen to have a potential agreement in November, 22nd and 23rd November. That is fundamental. And that will be, and if it happens, that will speed up the decision taking process at the level of the CAP, and it might, and in March, April next year, we might have an agreement, and this agreement, since it is co-decision, must be achieved between Council and Parliament. And next year, regulation of the community execution must be also achieved. And the national legislations must be defined as well. Their implementation will start in 2014. Now, I go to the proposal of direct payments. So, as we said, this is the proposal of the Commission, faced with the current regime, will introduce a wide set of new novelties, and that potentially will become a factor of complexity in the future application of it. So we have connected regimes of support, and in the framework of direct payments we have a novelty, which is the possibility of giving support to some natural areas, and we have an obligatory increase in the proposal of the Commission to the young farmers. And a major novelty here is the creaming payment. That is one of the most, one of principal components of the proposal of the Commission that is being discussed. And we have the new regime of the base payment that will substitute the single payment regime that is existing. And as an alternative to all these components of direct payments, there is also the possibility for the farmers in 2014 to adhere to small agriculture regime, small farming regime, and the goal is to simplify at the level of aid applications and at the level of controls. It will make things easier, and necessarily it will simplify things, since the farmers who will join this regime are not obliged to greening practices. In terms of rural development, the new framework for the rural development, well, as you know, there is the 2020 strategy for Europe, and this will reflect on the common strategic framework, and that based on the funds of the FEDER, the social fund, and the fishing fund, and giving an answer through the common thematic objective and through key actions that will give way to the implementation of a policy that is common and debated, discussed on the partnership contract basis. So each member state will have to prepare and elaborate this kind of contract. So that, and this will decide what the different funds will, how they will be applied in the framework of the 2020 strategy. So the rural development and the FEDER regulation must be duly coordinated with the contribution of the other funds in the common strategic framework to give answer to the priorities, and also some of those priorities are of transversal character, such as transfer of innovation and knowledge, environment, and weather changes, climatic changes. So all this architecture must be reflected in concrete steps in the different rural development programs. Now the position of Portugal in the framework of these negotiations, as I said before, Portugal has a weight of 2.1%. 2.1% is a reduced weight amount in terms of first and second pillar. That percentage is different, whereas in the first pillar we have a lower percentage of 1.5%, and in the second pillar we have a position, a more favorable position, which is about 4% in relation to the global amount of the European Union. Now, regarding the attribution of CAP cap per pillars, Portugal has a distribution for between first and second pillar that goes away from the average of the 27 European Union. So there is the weight of the for the first pillar of the cap represents here a value of 54%. As we said before, and as Luís Mira said, in terms of direct aid, Portugal is in a position, as you can see, rather low compared with the average of the European Union. So this situation is one that CAP, that the cap must bring an effective answer to be fairer. Here we must have a convergence effort between the level of support by the member states that is significant and that improves this situation. The national position in the framework of the plurianual financial framework and in relation to the funds, attribution of funds, is in defense of the strong budget for the period between 2014 and 2020. So we also think that distribution of among the member states must be fairer, and at level of the two pillars, and regarding the first pillar of CAP, Portugal advocates a greater convergence of direct payments between among the member states. And for the second pillar, the Portuguese position is of one of that thinks that the allocation must be based in clear objectives, and the policy of rural development is a policy that wants to attain specific objectives, and we think that in the attribution of the national money from the community budget, that topic shouldn't be approached in the sense to have a joint analysis of the two pillars, since the rural development wants to bring answers and has specific objectives that vary from member state, among the member states. Now, the most sensitive points for Portugal, as I said, the distribution of the financial amounts between member states, and for the first pillar we favor an internal convergence that should be more limited for direct payments, because if we don't have an external convergence sufficiently strong, what happens is that we cannot demand that at the internal level we have we go to a uniform value per hectare equal to all farmers until the end of 2019. So we advocate we do not advocate the status quo. We want an approach that is in parallel with the convergence among member states. So regarding greening, Portugal advocates a greater flexibility definition of the national maximum national limit, and the practices that are proposed and that are more flexible in order to give an answer and adapt to the specifics of the different agricultures. In the concrete case of Portugal, we are concerned with our Mediterranean specifics, so we think that the practices that is proposed by the European community don't provide a good answer, satisfactory answer. And the organization of the production now, here Portugal advocates the increase of the dimension and the scope of the producers' organizations, so the production can be better organized and play a greater role in the forming of value in the chain. And another sensitive point lies in the issue of eligibility of support to irrigation. And here there's some evolution in comparison with the initial proposals by the Commission. However, we think that there are some proposals are being discussed and that do not give a complete answer to the role of the irrigation, that the irrigation must play for the development of the agriculture and also of in combating the weather changes, climatic changes, which is very important for countries such as Portugal in southern Europe, and it is going to be more affected by the climatic changes. Now, in terms of direct payments and convergence, internal convergence, the discussion now is very intense, and we have some strong impacts in sectors such as milk and cattle milk, and regionalization and the aids, connected aids. Here we think that they are not enough to mitigate the variation, namely the negative impact of these production systems, that a national flat rate or regional flat rate could have on the continuity of the production. Therefore, and regarding regionalization, although the Commission presents the possibility for the member states to determine different regions with different levels of payment, we think that it does not give a proper answer because there is a great variability, even within small regions of the systems of rural production. At national level, at the level of the presidency now, the Commission insists on the internal convergence, although there are no proposals for amendments regarding the proposal by the Commission. The European Parliament, regarding the report by Kapula Shench, this introduces flexibility in the rhythm of internal convergence, enabling the member states to opt for approximation, smoother approximation, such as 20% in 2014 as a flat rate, and unlike the proposal of the Commission, and it does not involve an application of a unitarian value in 2019, but rather a value in which the value to be attained must be more in between more and less 20% as a tunnel proposal. So, and another novelty, and I think it introduces an important principle, is the application of a break to the basic payments at the level of the farmer. So limiting the application of a variation of 30% in between 2014 and 2019. The national application, we think that the internal convergence must be done at the national level, but we must avoid financial rupture and safeguard the competition situation of the farmers and producers. So we advocate a parallelism with the convergence between member states in order to follow the a progressive approximation model to be attained in to 2019, which does not mean that there will be a flat rate in 2019. This position is shared by other member states, namely Spain, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, and Denmark. Now, regarding another sensitive point, the greening payment. As you know, the proposal of the Commission foresees three compulsory practices or measures. So also, so the farmers that are involved in biological agriculture also fulfill the greening, and also it also defines sanctions for the that go beyond the greening payment. So this situation is worrisome, because according to the Commission's proposal, these sanctions might assume an important weight and on the basic payment and on other types of the CAP payments. So this is something that we are is a cause of concern to us, and are we opposed to that. And regarding the working groups of the Council, all this proposal of the greening payment suffered, underwent an evolution under the Danish presidency. It was the expansion of the greening concept by definition to different, to variety of situations, in situations in which the percentage is, in the exploration is very high. For agro-rural measures that also contain some of the obligatory measures of the greening, and also, or then units, production units that are certified by the environmental viewpoint. Now, in case of the of application for 10 hectares cultures, and there was also flexibilization considering cultures and differentiation of the same production culture if in made in the spring or autumn or winter, and now there is also the possibility of considering permanent prairies. That well, here we consider different plants, and here we in the last practice here, the last aspect. Here, there's also flexibility in the sense of being of making obligatory farms with more than 10 hectares, and also considering other situations, namely areas that have crops that do not resort to pesticides, and the position of the European Parliament also introduces a certain degree of flexibility. It's also something that is an evolution faced with the proposal by the presidency. In the case of diversification of crops at up to 20 hectares, it requires two different crops instead of three, and also it requires surfaces up to 50 hectares that have a high component occupied by prairies and graze, and introduces a new greening practice that has to do with permanent crops. And why this? Because by introducing this practice, or this, so it will exempt these crops of the practice of ecological interest. And the national position regarding the greening is that the default that is that may occur at the level of this payment only bring sanctions for this payment and not affect other payments. And permanent crops are must be considered as crops that fulfill the greening, so olive trees, vine, and other crops, such and other like rice crops, must be considered as the fulfilling the greening automatically. So they play an important role in terms of biodiversity and also in terms of carbon as retention. We think that it is we should not oblige verification of these practices, and also to simplify the application of the cap. Now, regarding diversification of crops, Portugal was in favor that this would be would apply just to a minimum area of 10 hectares, and in extensive areas, only two crops would be considered instead of three, and in case of permanent prairies, its maintenance is made according to the current system, not at the level of exploration, because that will involve a major restriction to the evolution of exploration. And if the levels at the national level are maintained, then the benefits will be assured. Now, in the surface of ecological interest, Portugal advocates that it applies only to 10 hectares minimum, and areas such as of permanent prairies must be also taken into account for the percentage that will be defined. But the proposal of the Commission by defining 7% is too much, and in some situations it will put at question the goal of the cap of achieving a food supply. Now, regarding the support to producers, as I said, what is foreseen is to have a support to creation of producers groups, and we also think that this must be also extended to not only to the creation, but also increasing the dimension and the scale of producers' organizations that exist. And so in terms of dimension, the increase of the value or number of associates must also receive support or aid. And in terms of scales, mergers, agreements, or vertical integration, all that must be supported. Now, in terms of decisions to be taken at the first pillar until August 2013, there are important decisions, namely the flexibility between pillars, the transfer of the amounts between the first and the second pillar, the minimum thresholds in between 0-13 or 1 hectare or between 100 and 200 hectares in the case of Portugal. So I have a regionalization of the basic payment. That's another crucial decision. And decisions regarding the internal convergence, including steps, if that is decided, and the establishment of the national reserve of basic payment, and also the utilization or not of the possibility of using zones with natural conditions, and also the establishment of an amount to be used to support young farmers. Decisions also at level of small farming and the connected or support. This will deserve a special attention in the case of Portugal. With Portugal, the country that has higher level of direct payments supplied to farmers under the form of linked or connected payments. This is a tool that we consider as a way of mitigating the negative effects that the internal convergence might have on some of these systems. In terms of rural development, at the internal level, there is an evolution, and currently there are teams that are being formed, and these teams are analyzing the different ways of applying the provisions that are in the new regulation of rural development. There was a guidance document that was drafted, and the strategy was established for 2014-2020. So the strategic view is that there is self-sufficiency in the food sector in value in 2020, promoting the sustainability of the whole national territory. It is a strategic goal, it is a strategic vision that is based on three strategic goals. The first one is to develop the forest production sustainable in throughout the whole national territory. Second, increase the production and supply. And third is to create and distribute value on an equal basis throughout the chain of value of the food sector. And for that, there is a guidance, a mainline, that the new rural development is a simple program, and we try to reduce measures and simplify procedures in comparison with the current situation. In terms of operational objectives, there is the objective of competitiveness, and we wish to give attention to private initiative in view of added value, and the objective of the structural organization that wants to cover more structures of throughout the food chain, and then also the objective of sustainability, that is achieving good practices and good utilization of natural resources and proper utilization of the territory.
As we've seen before, this is going to have a very straight articulation with the other pillar and objectives for the common strategy. There must be necessarily a concern to conjugate all the mechanisms that exist in the first and second pillar and a complementarity that allows the promotion of the sustainability of rural areas. The partnership contract and the possibility of using funds or other funds from the FAEDER, the FEDER and the Cohesion Fund, we think that, and that's our position, that there will have to be a strong articulation among all these financial instruments so that it can respond to in some areas that traditionally are supported and will continue to be supported by FEDER. That's the European Social European Fund that will contribute for the training in the forest and agriculture areas. The FEDER in the question regarding the agro-industrial area for the production of food supply, and also the support to infrastructures. And here as well, it might play an important role. And the Cohesion Fund for the incentivization of forest products and in the approach to the other sectors. So the global guidelines for the rural development can be summarized as follows. It's a priority to competitivity in all the national territory, a focus in the support to the for the production of marketing products, and to direct it to the agents involved in the creation of value. It will be very focused in the agents that are directly involved in the creation of value. The productive investment should be focused in the exploration, in the agricultural company, and the promotion of the production organization and the extension of the risk management also should be taken into consideration, without forgetting as well the role that agriculture and forestry have in the production of public assets. In order to for this to happen, there must be a complementarity among the first and the second pillar instruments and articulation with the other funds of the common strategic framework. Also, another one that is fundamental is to simplify the legislation and the implementation of the program. For that, there must be some clarity and great objectivity in the selection criteria for the investments to be supported. In terms of future perspectives, this already in that the new CAP is creating, we think that we foresee lesser intensity in the support to the income of the farmers in the most intensive sectors. And here there's a need to mitigate impact in order to guarantee competitiveness conditions within the European Union, a greater liberalization of the market, lesser regulation of the market, and therefore it will be more directed to crisis situations, and this leads that there might be a greater concentration and concertation in the productive sector, as well as a need for better balance in the value chain. And the supports to the rural development, as they will be covered by a strategic programming that is wider, there will be a need for a strong institutional articulation, and also to achieve a greater simplification and guidance for the increase of the production with the creation of value in the national territory. And that's what I had here to present to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this very exhaustive explanation of the national position. I would like to now invite comments or questions from the audience. You have the, yes. Имаме ли микрофон за Жоре?
Eu falo muito alto, não preciso de microfone. Eu trabalho aqui na CAP. E gostava de perguntar só três coisinhas ao Hugo, que são as seguintes. Há uma nova versão do regulamento, sim ou não?
There's a new version of the regulation, and if there is, that compiles all the rules. As the last version is from last year, I think it would be convenient. I think there is. If there is, and if it's possible for us to see that new version. And the second place, because the reference area, it's a very important area, and CAP was able, that a work group was constituted and with IFAP to see what is the potential area for 2014 that could transform everything in one single day, because the rights can be with great variance. And I would like to understand why the document that you mentioned that was signed with other countries, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Italy, in the end is the pace should be the same independently of the convergence. What is the justification the IPPP has to say that it should limit a reference for 2004 for the attribution of rights? If on one end there's no justification for the regulation, either the mountain gave a small thing, a small product, this has to be changed. What justification? Only some will have be entitled to the system. If wouldn't it be better to think that if the area that belongs to the system and regarding its utilization, and not to close down? I was there in 2009. I will be in the future. If I'm not, I won't be. In terms of eligible area, I'm just focusing on area. It's not the first allocation. It's the area that the farmer can subscribe. And what is the reason why they are advocating that should be a reference area that could be established, a reference area, as a reference in the years before 2014? So not anyone can appear. What justifies that? So that this is a base that 2 or 3 years, we do not understand why someone that had rights some years ago and now doesn't have. So we are always postponing a set of things. In the last one, in Article 21, and it's very concrete one, in case of the sale, a wall sale or partial sale, in May 2014, was for a single farmer. Now, I heard that in that version, that in this new version, is for one or more farmers, the transference of right. So I ask, if that relation is, if one has a land, and if that land is, she's the one who can transfer the right, or is someone, and now it seems several ones, and it's if it's without limitation to transfer that right, because someone that inherits the right can do, if this is not a nonsense notion. Thank you, Anna. In relation to the first question that you placed, and namely the question whether there's a new version of the regulation, I can inform you that there's a version of the regulation that's always been changed. And why? Because successively all the different groups of the council are in there. They discuss articles, the several components of direct payments, and that version is always being is always evolving. Although there's a new version, there's not a total version, but there's the evolution of the discussion within the council. And in relation to the reference area, and namely the question that you placed about the possibility of taking one area, or to limit the area of direct payment to a certain year before 2014, this in reality, it's an option. I highlighted very well, it's an option that is present in that document. However, it does not start in any way any decision made by Portugal regarding its application at this moment. It's an option. The document, it's a document that was discussed between the different member states. It was a concern from the part of Spain, because Spain has manifested large problems in terms of the variance of a potentially eligible area, and therefore the joining to this document is done, let's say, and even the final text of the document is the result of commitments among different European states that subscribed it. So finally, regarding the transference or the access to the regime by the transfer of the right or rights, the right to the right. What happens, and I can confirm that the presidency introduced an alteration in which that transfer can be done not only just for one farmer, but more than one farmer. At this moment, it's not limited. Can I just ask you something? What I wanted to specify best, I use your presence here, is to ask the right to the right. Let's imagine that we add one, and I transfer the right to you, and Hugo will register the area you want, and if everything goes well, you have the eligible area, everything involved. If the right to the right, that transfer has a limited number of possibilities, I can transfer to the wall room if I have the right to the right, because it's not, that's an important word. I do not know if it's X. If I transfer the right to the right, I'm not establishing any limits. I'm just transferring a right. And so I don't understand very well. It's out of control. It make all sense to sell, to transfer the right, to sell the right to the right, and it would be everything covered. But the right to the right, to be, I sell my land to Pedro, and with that I can transfer my right to right to 20 farmers, which are others. I do not understand the objective. Maybe you should think a bit about that, and if there's any meeting, because I do not understand. I think it gets out of control. It has the access to the regime. There might be an unlimited number of farmers, 100, because I sold a part or the wall my land. And I think this is a bit out of control and something that I didn't understand in the Portuguese position. Do you advocate or not? Do you think excessive or not? The possibility that GAP does not apply the flat rate, because this is very vague. There should be a convergence, and GAP submitted the convergence with the same pass, with the internal and the external, and then converge a ridiculous amount. And I said, the regulation said it's mandatory, but give us the option that to apply 40%, and then the other one will be. So what does Portugal advocate? In relation to the convergence issue, Portugal, when speaks about the parallelism with external convergence, it's necessary reflecting, and it's reflecting the intensity of that convergence, the external convergence model proposed by the Commission. It's an approach to one-third of 90% of the average. So in the end, the lady said something that I couldn't hear because she didn't speak to the microphone. I'm sorry. It's a convergence. You see, it's a progressive approach, flat rate zero. It's going to be replaced by a progressive approach between what the pharma had in 2013, and then till. So Portugal advocates a flat rate of zero. So a progressive rate is not compatible with a flat rate. Portugal advocates there's a component of a flat rate. Does it? Is a greater component of flat rate. If there's no component of flat rate, there won't be a progressive approach. There's two alternatives. When you have a flat rate component, there's an equality in those 40%, and there's a component, which are the hybrid models that Germany had, the static and dynamic models, and we would have as base a dynamic hybrid, a flat rate for everyone from the beginning, and then the approach to that percentage. And I would say the proposal of CAP till 2028, even in the milk shares, have been disappearing, and we decided a long time ago. Our proposal is that there's no flat rate and a walk towards that progressive. A transition period without flat rate since 2014 till 2028. That's our proposal. They say it's a topic one. Doesn't matter. For us, in that document that we did, we did not propose a flat rate. We proposed a balanced and progressive approach. So there's no common base. It's not in the 40 or the 80%. It's 100%. I do not understand the Portuguese position. I understand your position. It's very different. No, it's the mechanism that is different. And has to do, as we have a lot of divergences between the explorations, a greater divergence in values, their situations contrary to what you might think, there's much more, or there's a small distance that goes from one mechanism to the other. We made those scenarios, so it's almost indifferent. And the situations where we want to safeguard ones that imply a larger change, we want they're much more defended. And that's what we want. We don't want to penalize those that gain and not penalize too much those that lose.
Okay. Any other comments? Yes, please.
Olá, bom dia, Isabel Martins.
Isabel Martins, Vida Rural. I just would like to ask you that regarding the non-eligibility, what is expected that will happen in that issue in the very realistic way, bearing in mind there's a new version of the regulation that we still do not know very well. There's going to be any changes in that issue, which is very important for the Portuguese farmers. In relation to the irrigation option, I can say that this is a question that is still being discussed. But the initial proposal of the Commission has evolved, and there might be aid to the improvement of irrigation and to the new irrigated areas. Despite that, we consider that at this moment what is being discussed is not in any way a satisfactory one. We wish to introduce some restrictions and some verifications that are complex, even in terms of operationability, namely in terms of, and here I'm going to speak about the new irrigated areas. There might have to be some verification of net increase of areas and water masses. It's a very complex exercise and it's very difficult to render operational, even if we want to evidence that that is what is happening. But it's something that at the moment it's still premature to say how is it going to be. The Commission has worked with the Presidency in the preparation of these proposals. It's an issue that is being discussed right now and will be discussed next week. And we think that we'll still be premature to say anything. I think that the proposals have evolved, which are more favorable compared to the beginning. And however, they still have to overcome some obstacles. Some of a bit incomprehensible nature, which go beyond the provisions that are foreseen at the level of the sectorial regarding water, which puts at stake the policy, the community policy for the water sector, for the water, as it introduces some requirements that the framework directive regarding water does not say anything about. But it's something, as I said, that is still at the moment being discussed. It's still open on the table.
Okay, I can see that we have more questions and awaiting a lively discussion, which is great. But I suggest that we take our coffee break now for 20 minutes and then rejoin. We will have two more speakers and the opportunity for everyone to ask questions, make comments, and take part in the discussion.